Hello, Houston! Hare Krishna! And welcome to the Waves of Devotion at 106.1 FM. We are your hosts, Radha
and Vasavi.
You can listen to this program live at tunein.com or download the TuneIn app. So, today we will be talking about the importance of Ekadashi, as most of you guys know.
Yeah, I think this is a crucial thing to talk about because I feel like people just follow Ekadashi because either they were born into it or everyone around them is just doing it. Many of the people who follow Ekadashi don't understand why they're actually doing it. So don't worry. After today, you'll learn a lot about Ekadashi. But first, let's recite some verses from the Bhagavad Gita as it is.
Bewildered by false ego, strength, pride, lust, and anger, the demon becomes envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in his own body and in the bodies of others, and blasphemes against the real religion. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life.
Text 20. Asurim yonimapanna mudha janmani janmani.
Attaining repeated birth amongst the species of demoniac life, such persons can never approach me. Gradually, they sink down to the most abominable type of existence. There are three gates leading to this hell, lust, anger, and greed. Every sane man should give up these up, for they lead to the degradation of the soul.
Text 23.
who has escaped these three gates of hell, O son of Kunti, performs acts conducive to self-realization, and thus gradually attains the supreme destination.
Text 23. Ya shastra vidhim utrijya vartate kamakaratah asa siddhim avapnoti na sukham na param gatim.
But he who discards spiritual injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination.
Text 24. Tasmat chastram pramanam te karya karya vyavasthitau natva shastra vidhanoktam karma kartum iharhasi.
One should understand what is duty, and when, and what is not duty, by the regulations of the scriptures. Knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that he may gradually be elevated.
Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the 16th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of divine and demonic natures. Chapter 17, The Divisions of Faith. Text 1. Arjuna Uvacha. Ye Shastra Vidhim Utsrijya Yajante Shradhayan Vitaha Tesham Nishthatukha Krishna Sattvam Aho Rajastamaha.
Arjuna said, O Krishna, what is the situation of one who does not follow the principles of scripture, but worships according to his own imagination? Is he in goodness, in passion, or in ignorance? The Supreme Lord said, according to the modes of nature acquired by the embodied soul, one's faith can be of three kinds: goodness, passion, or ignorance. Now hear about these.
Text 3. Sattvanurupa sarvasya shraddha bhavati bharata shraddha mayoyam purusho yoya chhatrasa evasaha.
According to one's existence, under the various modes of nature, one evolves a particular kind of faith. The living being is said to be of a particular faith according to the modes he has acquired.
Text 4. Yajante sattvika devan yaksha raksham sira
of goodness worship the demigods. Those in the mode of passion worship the demons. And those in the mode of ignorance worship ghosts and spirits.
Text 5 and 6.
those who undergo severe austerities and penances not recommended in the scriptures, performing them out of pride, egotism, lust, and attachment, who are impelled by passion, and who torture their bodily organs as well as the supersoul dwelling within, are to be known as demons.
Text 7. Aharastvapi sarvasya trividho bhavati priyaha yagnastapastatha danam tesham bhedam imam shrunu.
Even food, of which all partake, is of three kinds, according to the three modes of material nature. The same is true of sacrifices, austerities, and charity. Listen, and I shall tell you of the distinctions of these.
Text 8. Ayu sattva balarogya sukha priti vivardhanaha rasya snigdha sthira hridya ahara sattvika priya.
Foods in the mode of goodness increase the duration of life, purify one's existence, and give strength, health, happiness, and satisfaction. Such nourishing foods are sweet, juicy, fattening, and palatable. Foods that are too bitter, too sour, salty, pungent, dry, and hot are liked by people in the modes of passion. Such foods cause pain, distress, and disease. Foods cooked more than 3 hours before being eaten, which is tasteless, stale, putrid, decomposed, and unclean, is food liked by the people in the mode of ignorance.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Mumachur munayo
Welcome back, listeners. You are listening to the Waves of Devotion at 106.1 FM. So as we told you all earlier, Ekadashi is the most followed day.
And I agree with what Vasvi mentioned earlier, that not everyone knows why they're following Ekadashi. So to begin with, Ekadashi usually occurs, you know, twice a month, once every 15 days. And Ekadashi in Sanskrit means 11th day.
There's a famous story behind the whole upbringing of the day, Ekadashi. I'm not very good at telling stories, so Radha will tell it.
Okay, so this was a story that happened and where the whole upbringing of Ekadashi happened. So in the time of Satyayuga, there lived a fearsome demon called Mura, and he was always very angry. He terrified all the demigods, and he even defeated Indra, you know, the king of heaven, and the sun god and the eight Vasus, Lord Brahma. He defeated all of them, and with his terrible power, he brought them all under his control. But then the demigods, they approached Lord Vishnu and prayed for him to help. And hearing the prayers and requests from Indra, Lord Vishnu became very angry, and he said, "O powerful demigods, all together you may now advance on Mura's capital city of Chandravati to attack him." And thus the demigods, as they were encouraged, they proceeded to the capital city of the demon Mura with their Lord Vishnu leading the way. And over there they had a huge fight between the soldiers of Mura and the demigods. Many of the demons were killed by, you know, Vishnu's hand. And at last the chief demon Mura, he began fighting with the Lord. First there were weapons and bare hands, and the Lord wrestled with Mura for 1,000 celestial years. Can you believe that? 1,000 celestial years. And then, apparently fatigued, they left for Badrika Ashram. And there, he entered a very beautiful cave named Himavati to rest. And the demon followed him into the cave, and Vishnu didn't know this, and the demigods didn't know this. And when Mura saw him sleeping, he started to think in his heart, "Today I will kill the slayer of all demons, Hari." So while the wicked demon Mura was making plans in this way, from Lord Vishnu's body, there manifested a young girl who had a very bright complexion. And the demon Mura saw that she was equipped with various brilliant weapons, and she was ready to fight, and challenged by a female to do the battle. Mura prepared himself, and then he fought with her. And he thought, you know, this is going to be easy because, you know, she's a girl, she can't do anything. But he became very astonished when he saw that she fought with him without fatigue, and she fought with him like all the way. The king of the demons then said, "Who has created this angry, fearsome girl who is fighting me so powerfully, just like a thunderbolt falling upon me?" And after saying this, the demon continued to fight with the girl. And suddenly, that effulgent goddess shattered all of Mura's weapons, and in that moment deprived him of his chariot. And he ran toward her to attack her with his bare hands. But when she saw him coming, she angrily cut off his head. And thus the demon fell to the ground, and he went to the abode of Yamaraj. So then the Supreme Lord woke up and saw the dead demon before him, as well as the girl bowing down to him. So then Lord Vishnu, being pleased with the girl, he offered her a boon. And the girl said, "O Lord, if you are pleased with me and wish to give me a boon, then give me the power to deliver from the greatest sins that person who fasts on this day. I wish that half the pious credit obtained by one who fasts will accrue to one who eats only in the evening and abstaining from grains and beans. And that half of this pious credit will be earned by one who eats only at midday. Also, the one who strictly observes a complete fast on my appearance day with controlled senses goes to the abode of Lord Vishnu for 1 billion years, or kalpas, after he has enjoyed all kinds of pleasures in this world. This is the boon I desire to attain by your mercy, my Lord. O Lord, whether a person observes complete fasting, eats only in the evening, or eats only at midday, please grant him a religious attitude, wealth, and at least liberation." This is what the maiden had said to Lord Vishnu. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he said, "You know, what you have requested is granted. All of my devotees in this world will surely fast on your day, and thus they will become famous throughout the three worlds and finally come and stay with me in my abode. Because of you, because you have appeared on the 11th day of the waning moon, let your name be Ekadashi. If a person fasts on Ekadashi, I will burn up all of his sins and bestow upon him my transcendental abode." This is what the Supreme Personality of Godhead said. So basically,
anyone who fasts from grains and beans on this day will start off with a clean slate. Ekadashi is a very special day to Krishna. So if you not only fast, but if you chant his names or you do some service with devotion for the Lord, it is 10 times more effective than if you do it on a regular day, because Krishna is exceptionally merciful and happy on this day.
Yeah, the good thing is that you don't have to wait a long time for a special day to come when you can, you know, redeem yourself and fast. Ekadashi comes and goes very quickly.
But, oh my God, it is so hard to follow Ekadashi. I mean, all the stuff I like to eat are not Ekadashi and I don't like it.
Well, do you want to start over fresh?
Yeah, sure.
Well, this is actually a really easy way to get rid of your sins. I mean, it's not like you're not drinking water the whole day or completely fasting. You're just fasting from grains and beans. But, I mean, you can fast completely if you want to, but it's not mandatory. Even following Ekadashi is not mandatory either. You know, this is for yourself. You're trying to help yourself in a way.
Yeah, for example, you can use buckwheat instead of actual wheat flour. My mom uses buckwheat to make pancakes and cupcakes on Ekadashi, and they're very good.
Yeah, exactly. But another reason to follow Ekadashi is to focus on your spiritual life. You know, fasting on that day gives you a reason to forget all of your worries and gives you a reason to focus on your spirituality. You know, cooking and worrying about what to make for lunch or dinner can be such a hassle. Trust me, I know what my parents go through when they want to make their kids happy. So Ekadashi, it relieves you of your worries, and this gives you a lot of time to focus on other things.
Yep, well put, Radha. I guess no one can really think about it like that. Yeah, this is a different angle you can look at it. And have you noticed that every Ekadashi has a different name, like Satila Ekadashi, Vijaya Ekadashi, Papa Mochani Ekadashi? Those are the only names I know memorized, but I know that every Ekadashi has a different name. And why is that?
That's a nice observation. Well, each has a different name because there's a different story behind each Ekadashi. And, well, if you don't mind, I'll try to say a little story, if that's okay with you. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, I'll try to shorten it because the story is kind of long. But, actually... Okay, yes. Okay, so... Yudhishthira Maharaj once said, "O Lord Krishna, O glorious son of Vasudeva, please be merciful to me and describe the Ekadashi that occurs during the dark fortnight of the month of Falguna," which is around February and March. So Krishna replied with, "Yes, I shall gladly tell you about this great fast known as Vijaya Ekadashi. So whoever observes it certainly achieves success in this life and the next. And all of the sins of one who fasts on this Ekadashi and hears its sublime glories are eradicated." So Narada Muni once asked Lord Brahma, "Who sits on a lotus flower about the Vijaya Ekadashi?" Sri Narada said, "O best of all the demigods, kindly tell me the merit one can achieve by faithfully observing Vijaya Ekadashi." Narada's great-grandfather replied then, "My dear son, this oldest of fasting days is pure, and it nullifies all sins. I have never revealed this to anyone until today. But you can understand beyond any doubt that this Ekadashi bestows the result indicated by its name. And Vijaya, it means victory." So when Lord Rama was exiled to the forest for 14 years, him and Sita and his brother Lakshman stayed at Panchavati as, you know, mendicants or Brahmins or hermits. And Sita was, as you all know the story of Ramayana, Sita was then kidnapped by Ravana, and Lord Rama seemingly became bewildered like an ordinary man by distress. And while searching for his beloved consort, the Lord came upon the dying Jatayu, and thereafter he killed his enemy, Ravana. So the great devotee vulture Jatayu, he returned to Vaikuntha after telling Rama how his dear Sita has been abducted by Ravana. Later, Lord Rama and Sugriva and the King of Monkeys, they all became friends, and together they amassed a great army of monkeys and bears and sent Hanuman, another one of Ram's great devotee, to Sri Lanka, where he was able to see Janaki or Sita. And Hanuman delivered Lord Rama's message and showed the ring proving that Rama was alive. And with the help of Sugriva, Lord Rama proceeded to Sri Lanka. And upon arriving the shore of the ocean with the army of monkeys, he could understand that the water was deep. So, as you all know, they took stones. And it didn't matter how small it was or how big it was, as long as they wrote "Jai Sri Rama" on the rock would suddenly float. So like that, they crossed over to Lanka. And Lakshmana said, "O best of all beings, O origin of all the devas, the great sage Bhaktad Alpya lives on an island just 4 miles from here. O Raghava, he has seen many Brahmas come and go. So aged and wise he is. Let us go to him. Let us take his darshan." So Rama and Lakshmana, they proceeded to the humble ashram of Albaya Muni. And approaching him, the two lords, they paid their respectful obeisances to him as if he were a second Vishnu. And Albaya Muni could immediately understand that Sri Ram was actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who, you know, for his own reasons, appeared on the earth. And Albaya Muni said, "Why have you come to my lowly abode?" And the Lord replied, "I have come here to the ocean shore with my monkey army to cross the sea and conquer Lanka and its demon hoarded by Ravana. Please be merciful to me and tell me how I can cross this vast ocean." And this was where Albaya Muni told him how to cross the ocean with writing his name on the rocks. So then he said, "When Dwadashi dawns, take the water to the pot on the bank of a holy river, or even to the shore of a small pond. After worshipping it properly, O King of Kings, offer it to the ingredients of a pure-hearted Brahmin, expert in the Vedic sciences." And Rama did exactly what Albaya Muni instructed, and thus he conquered all demoniac forces. Similarly, anyone who observes the Vijaya Ekadashi in this way will always be victorious in this material world. And after leaving this world, they will reside forever in the anxiety-free realm known as Vaikuntha. O Narada, my son, from this history you can understand why one should observe this Ekadashi fast properly, strictly following the rules and regulations. This fast is powerful enough to eradicate all of one's sinful reactions, even the most abominable ones. And that's how Krishna concluded the story to Yudhishthira Maharaj. So this just proves that if you don't fast completely, you know, if you just fast from grains and beans, it can eradicate all of your sins completely. This is a great way to, you know, kind of get rid of your sins, start on a clean slate. So we will take a short break. I'll be playing a song. It's called Madhuram, and this was sung by Bhaktivinod Thakur. Madhurashtakam, sorry, it's called Madhurashtakam. This was sung by Swarup Damodar Das, and basically this song, it talks about how merciful and beautiful Krishna can be, and it describes very melodiously how he will protect his devotees from evil.
Madhuram, hasitam madhuram. sitam madhuram
madhuram vadanam madhuram
Okay, listeners, welcome back to the Waves of Devotion at 106.1 FM. So, as we were talking about Ekadashi, Vasvi has an announcement for you guys. Vasvi?
I have an announcement for all of you listeners. We have mentioned this last week also. This month is super special and auspicious. It is Purushottam month. It started June 16th and will end this July 17th. This is a very auspicious month because Krishna is very merciful in this month.
And so you know how Lord Krishna, this month is very special to Krishna. And whoever, he said, Purushottam month has all the power I have to bless its observer. One who follows this Purushottam Vrata will destroy all of his past and sinful reactions. The value of Purushottam month is far more valuable than all other types of austerities and religious activities mentioned in the Vedas. So basically, this month is very, very special. So, you know, just doing something different or doing something in the service of the Lord will be 10 times more effective than if you do it any other day. So the recommended worship for Purushottam month is, you know, to worship Radha Krishna, or you can chant extra rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, or you can study Srimad Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita, and especially chapter 15. The Purushottam Yoga. And you must offer daily ghee lamps to Radha Krishna deity, or, you know, a photo, because that is one of the most crucial parts of following the Purushottam month. And even in the temple, you know, every evening, there's not a day that we don't miss offering the ghee lamps to the deities. And you can give charity to qualified brahmanas, or, you know, you can go engage in seva, distribute prashadam. You can bathe in holy rivers and associate with saintly devotees. So, you know, if you're in India, and just try to go to the Ganga, or, you know, Radha Kund, Shyama Kund, or in any holy river and bathe in it so you can purify all of your sins. And you can take a vow to remain truthful for the whole month, or you can take any vow. You know, I know some people, they have taken a vow to not eat any sweets this whole month. And I know it must be hard for them, but, you know, they're just going to do it. And be careful not to blaspheme any devotee, Shastra or Brahmin. I mean, in every day, it's very sinful to offend any devotee, because more than himself, Krishna loves his devotees. So he doesn't pay attention if you insult him. But if you insult one of his devotees, he'll get very, very upset. So careful not to blaspheme any devotees. You can hear Harikatha, you know, stories about Krishna, about his pastimes, and worshiping Radha by offering fresh lotuses or rose or tulsi leaves. Tulsi leaves are great because tulsi leaves are very special to Krishna. So yeah, you can offer that. And for this Purushottam month, it is very auspicious to have any kind of spiritual activity to do at home. So the ISKCON temple, they have a group where they can come to your house and perform the evening program at your house. And basically, the program consists of basically talking about the glories of Purushottam month from scriptures. There's lively kirtan. And of course, there's ghee lamp offerings to Lord Krishna. And then there's dinner prasadam. So, I mean, prasadam can be of your choice. You can get mixed cut fruit or light snacks or a full course vegetarian meal. The temple will provide for, you know, everything while you provide with just the prasadam. It is highly, highly, highly recommended to have devotees at home and serve them in this auspicious month. And if you are interested in this program, please call this number to get more details and to set up a time slot to have this program at your house. The number is 281-235-3590. Once again, the number is 281-235-3590. So we all recommend you to have this event at your house. And also, another reminder. Vasi, would you like to tell them about the event that's coming up?
Sure. Well, there's also another event coming up soon. The event coming up is called the Yatayatra. And this festival involves having a huge cart holding the Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra deities. And the devotees, they pull the cart with long and thick ropes along the streets of the town. And this event is coming up July 11th. And that's a Saturday. So try to keep your calendars free, guys, and come out and attend this festival. The entire program will start at 6 p.m. We will have many booths there with food, clothing, henna, singing, dancing, and guess who our star guests are? The Mayapuris. They are an awesome kirtan group that travel around the world and chant the holy name of Krishna. And almost everyone is excited to see them whenever they come to Houston.
I know I am. So please do not miss this opportunity to hear and actually meet with the Mayapuris. I promise you, you will love them. They have at least 5 members, I think. And one of them is a dancer. She is very, very, very talented. And she also has a really cute daughter. So don't miss this opportunity to talk to them and get to know them. You'll find everything about the Ratha Yatra in the ISKCON Houston website. It is iskonhouston.org, iskonhouston.org. And ISKCON, for those of you who don't know, is spelled ISKCON. So that's iskonhouston.org. So before we conclude this program, we would like to invite you to the Sunday feast tonight at the Hare Krishna Dham ISKCON Temple. The feast starts at 5:30 with Arati. So come dance and chant with us and hear what the Lord has to say. And, just come out and have a fun time here with us. There's a nice discourse lecture on the scriptures. And today's special program is Janavi Das Prabhu he's from Mayapur. And he is the head pujari of the Mayapur temple. And he is coming today. So this is a very great opportunity to meet him too. So please come out to the temple and, join us for a nice, wonderful kirtan after the discourse lecture. And there is a wonderful, wonderful vegetarian prasadam today. And I mean, every day. So please come out. And usually there's a program for children from ages 5 to 16. But since it's summer, there's no school. It's like Sunday school. So there they get to learn all about Krishna, all about the festivals, about everything. And they do lots of fun projects too. So please come out and join us today. So we are your hosts, Radha.
And Varsity.
Signing off for today. We will meet next week on Sunday, same time at 12 o'clock in the noon at 106.1 FM with yet another devotional wave of the waves of devotion. Hare Krishna.
Krishna Murari, Shri Krishna Murari, Mama Mana Mandira. Bhakti Priti Mala Chanda. Giddy.